reflecting on 8 years ago, right at this time. For me, yesterday, 8 years ago, November 11th, 2009, is when God clearly called me to start the church. And I wasn't the only one, but Steve was involved, Jason was involved, and Eduardo was there at that time. And so we're just going to share a little bit this morning that journey. And unfortunately, Steve was going to share as well this morning, but Steve is not feeling good, so he's not coming. But so we won't get his perspective on it. But so Jason's going to share a little bit where he was at that point. Eduardo's going to share just from his perspective. So, and then I'll share mine, and then we'll all kind of tie it together into, we're going to look at Abraham's story a little bit as well. And so we're going to reflect on that a little bit this morning and have kind of an eighth anniversary party, I guess, if you can say it that way. But that's what it is. And so some of you kind of know, you know, or you do know what happened. I know Mike and Darlene were involved and you started church just soon after that. So it's up to you if you want to share. You have that opportunity as well. We do want to just, one of my main focuses or goals for doing this is just remembering, not only remembering the calling that God has for us, but also the faithfulness that God has shown us since we started. God has been so faithful and so faithful, and he'll continue to be faithful. And not only in church, but also in your life, also in my life, just the faithfulness of God. And when he leads, when he calls you to do something, and you obey, of his faithfulness of just being there. So that's the that's going to be our agenda this morning. So, Jason, why don't you start, and when you're done, Eduardo, you can come up, and then I will share my piece after that, and we'll kind of just wrap this, kind of try to tie the whole thing on in together here. So, bless you, Jason, as you share.
It is on. There we go. So Dale called me 2 days ago, and he asked if I want to share, and my first reaction was yeah. And I don't know why. It's probably the journey God has taken me on, well, the past 8 years, for that matter. You know, it's not like the journey just started a year ago, but it started 8 years ago, actually. For me, in relation to where God has me today, it started over 10 years ago. But I want to just take a bit of an illustration. Now, I probably do this more than ever now that I'm teaching school, but I want to take an illustration. If you have a plant in a greenhouse, that's where most small plants start. They're not going to start a whole bunch of plants, trees, anything like that. You will start them in a safe spot. They will sprout and they will start growing. But we keep them in a safe spot. We water them. We give them good warm temperatures to grow in. But eventually, they reach a spot where you're going to transplant them out into the garden or out into the woods, or if it's a tree, maybe out into your yard beside your house. Now, when you do that transplanting, there's still some continuing watering need to be done, maybe even addition from the rain, because it's not going to continue. As you, those of you that take care of gardens, when they're small plants and it's dry outside, you have to water. They're not going to grow. But eventually, if you see a tree outside here out in the front of the church building, are we going out every week with a water hose to water that tree? I sure haven't. Has anybody else? No. The tree takes care of itself now. Now, take the illustration. We're going to back up a step. Where God had me 8 years ago was, there was a lot of young seed, if I can say, that had begun to grow. And has that continued on through 8 years? Absolutely. But there was young seed. We were spending time together. We were praying together. We were walking together. But we didn't have anywhere to transplant them to. They had begun to grow, but there was no church to walk with. Now, could any young tree find, if I can say it, young person find a church somewhere throughout Lancaster City? Absolutely. But you know what? When you're friends, when you're family, you want to be with the people that you know. So I remember 8 years ago, we had taken a trip down to Washington, D.C., or Bible study group, and that included, well, some word is sitting back here. James, were you on that trip too? I think so. Steve King, there were a whole bunch of us that went down. And we went to see Nick Vujicic. He had shared down there in Washington, D.C. at a huge church. For me, nothing spectacular happened that morning. But for Steve King, that's where God laid it on his heart that now is the time to start church. Exactly a week later, I think it was on a Friday evening, if I remember correctly, I called Steve. And my heart was just, I can't even remember the situation because I don't always remember situations. But my heart was just like, I think I just sat down with a couple of the young guys and they're like, we need somewhere to go to church on Sunday. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can take them back to Denver, my church I grew up with. And I had done that some. Don't get me wrong. We had done that. But we wanted somewhere local, somewhere where we could hang out, somewhere where we could be a body. And so I called Steve up, and this had crossed my mind multiple times before. I called Steve up that Friday night, and I said, Steve, if you're not going to start church, I said, I'm just going to start with the guys by myself. And this is normal Jason reaction, but, you know, that's what I was feeling at the moment, and that's what God impressed on my heart. It's now we have to start. And so 2 weeks went by, and Dale will probably share his side of that, what happened there, and we actually started meeting for church. I think it was two weeks from that Sunday. Now, back to the story of the tree. My passion has been young people since day one here in Lancaster City. That is who God had called me to minister to. Hasn't changed. As young people grow up, I want them to be given from the spot where they have to be walked with every step of the way till they start walking on their own. They start having families. They start being who God has called them to be. And you know, probably a year ago, I could not stand here and say that that has happened. But I look around and God has continued to make that happen. Now, do I want to see it be done in a much greater fashion? Absolutely. And my passion probably has been renewed in the past. I don't know. I can't really put a date on it. It's hard for me to actually do that. But God has called, at least for myself, when starting church, now I don't want to put anything in a wrong direction in your mind, but this is for me. When God called me to Lancaster, when God called me to start church, it was not because I was running from my church. At that time, I actually had mended my relationships at my church. It was rather because God had laid it on my heart, because it wasn't about me, because it was for him. Because really, I was fine right where I was at. But it was because he wanted something to happen here in Lancaster City. And so that passion for myself lives on. And will it change? Will it get redirected? It may. But I can tell you this much. I believe there's a reason that calling was put on my life. And until God leads me or shows me that there's another step for me to take in that area, and I see that step progressing. This year I started with school for the first time. I see the incredible opportunity for me as people go older into high school years. People will be teenagers. It'll be the same passion that's going to be flowing out. So that's the way God led me here to church starting 8 years ago. And if sometimes I come out extremely strong on the side, that's the way it is, because that's the way God called me. I can't walk away from a calling that God gave to me 8 years ago. So God bless you.
Well, Dell called me 2 days ago as well. I guess for me, it was a little different. Steve and Dale and Jason and I believe Galen as well all felt that they needed to start a church. I wanted a church in the city. The main reason was I was getting tired of people trying to kiss me. or at least guys. I was used to girls kissing me in my cheek and whatnot. That's a Spanish tradition or whatever. But when I 10 years ago, maybe, or even before that, I went to Tuesday Church. That's how I got, I guess, started everything. Tuesday Church, then LBS and everything like that. But then it was when I was 15 last year at camp, where I really, God really spoke to me. You all guys all know Mike or Michael or Park or whatever, everybody, he got too many names. Well, he was my counselor, and it was my last year. We were having an amazing time. Everybody in our cabin was pretty much all the guys I grew up with from Lime Street, and we were all having an amazing time. Out of nowhere, Mike grabbed my shoulder, and I just started choking him and punching him and whatever. And after that moment, two guys got me off, and everybody else went to shower. And he sat next to me, and I was just so angry, and he was just nice. He was just there, and then he started crying, and I didn't know why. For me, at that time, I was like, well, what is this guy crying? He's a punk, whatever. And then he stopped. I'm like, why are you crying like a girl? He was like, because I forgive you. I'm like, what do you mean? And then he went on saying, I forgive you for what you did and stuff like that, because I've knew him probably about 4 years then, and we were close. We were really close. I would go to his house pretty much every weekend to hang out and play with his big old pony he had. He had a small, tiny, normal-sized pony. Then he had a big, fat pony that couldn't barely walk because the belly was dragging literally on the floor. But, yeah, it was after that night, we camp out Thursday night, and he started sharing some of his testimony, and pretty much, it was six of us then, and we all were crying. And after he shared, and then we started sharing painful things we've been through and stuff like that. So then after that, soon after that, somehow, I'm not sure who, but then Steve and Jason and Galen were meeting at Mark's place on Lime Street. And some night, one of them invited me over, and they were having Bible study. Kept going to Bible study. Josue came along. AJ, James came. Then a couple other people will come. Isaac, wow, I haven't seen Isaac in a long time. And, we had good times there. Then we went to, eventually God led us to the trip down in D.C., which was amazing. Then after that, we started church. And I guess for me, just looking back, when Dale called me, he's like, yeah, it's been 9 years. And then I hanged up, and I was on the way back on Turnpike. And I'm like, driving there. And I'm like, wow, it's been that long. A lot have happened since then. I'm just blessed that, God put everybody around me then and now. It's amazing to see how God works. People are leaving and going. I think the main thing that I loved about the church was, like Jason said, it was somewhere where some of us guys were comfortable. We can come and hang out. We knew each other pretty well from Bible study. It was just awesome. I know one thing that kept driving me to church was, I will never forget it. Mark, before he was dating and stuff, we used to go to Bethel, and he would every Sunday he would say, "Hey, did you eat?" And I could have ate, but I lied and I said no. And the reason I said that was because right on on 322 there, the Ephrata exit, there's a Turkey Hill right there, and if I said no, he would go to the Turkey Hill and give me food and some coffee. So even if I would have ate, I said no. That's just something I would never remember, because every Sunday he would ask, and he would do it. And I just remember going to Beth on Sundays. And then another thing, I liked it, going to church, because every time, I wasn't a member, but I went a lot, pretty much almost every Sunday for a while. And every time I went, they have the culture where if someone, a visitor comes, you go, and we get food. So I went all the time. We get food. And I asked Mark, I'm like, hey, why do we always get food? And he was like, oh, yeah, well, because you're along. I'm like, well, what does that mean? He was like, well, I'm a member, so, you know, I'm a visitor. I'm like, me either. I've been coming here for a while. He was like, yeah, you know, and he went on explaining how that all works. I'm like, well, I guess I don't want to be a member. I want to eat every Sunday anyway. And, but, yeah, just memories, great memories. Yeah, the last 8 years or 9 years, it's been amazing where God has taken me. Yeah, especially when one thing that I know that I will never forget was once I became a Christian, and this was probably about 2 years or a year and a half after going to Bible study and everything, that when I did actually became a Christian, at that moment, all the guys that I grew up with, during that time, during my journey going to Bible study, everything was fine. Everybody, I still hanged out and stuff like that. But, you know, that's one thing I'll never forget, that when I did become a Christian, a couple days later, everybody I hanged out with from Lime Street, they wouldn't talk to me. They would hang out with my brother. But, yeah, they wouldn't want to talk to me, hang out with me or anything. And so I went probably a good half a year being alone, not hanging out with nobody, and only having Bible study on Wednesdays and going through all the stuff. And then soon after that, that's when we started the church. And then once the church got started, God just worked in amazing ways that when we were going to church, all the guys started talking to me again. And I wasn't quite sure why, how it all worked out that way. But I know one thing that I look back is all the stuff I've been through, and I talk to the guys now, and I know for graduation back in, 2014 when I graduated high school, the one of the guys I was most close to, he writes in my yearbook, and he says, oh, don't look at it till after we graduate. I didn't think nothing about it. And after we graduated, a couple days later, I look in it. I'm looking through it. And he writes a little paragraph. And he says, I respect you more now than I've ever done before. And then he puts dot, dot, dot. And then at the bottom, he says, because you live for Christ. And that moment on, I knew God called me to continue being there for them no matter where I go. And so, yeah, I'm just really glad that Jason and Dale and Steve and Galen and Mark all stepped up and were willing to start the church that now we all attend. Because of that, my life has changed, and I've changed other lives. And I know it's still a journey with some of my close friends and my brothers and sisters, but because of church and Tuesday Church and LBS, I can have that relationship and that respect with my brothers and sisters. And until today, they still ask questions about God. And, you know, they when they look at me and I'm doing something that I shouldn't be doing as a Christian in their book, they, you know, they come to me about it and, hey, you shouldn't do this and that. And that. And it just brings joy to me, even though sometimes it gets on my nerves because they don't know half the stuff they're talking about. But it makes me glad and joyful that I know that because of Tuesday Church and LBS and the church and a lot of you guys here that have been a part of that, you know, there is God in them. I just ask that as a church we continue growing, continue doing what God has called us to do. And if you ever feel that we're not doing anything or that you're not doing work for God or where other people, you know, I'm just here to say that that doesn't matter. As long as you're doing what God wants you to do and you stay in that line, everybody else is doing their part and God will take care of the rest. And I know that he's still working in everybody that I'm involved with. So, I'm just thankful and blessed to be at a church like this and where I can always feel welcome. That's what I got.
First of all, Warden Janice, I want to say, I know you're back there, I respect you guys very much for the walk you're walking. And something that he was sharing hit me going back 7-8 years ago, where you talked about coming out to Bethel. And that's honestly probably where my wife and I's journey started, is through choir and other places like that, bringing children out to Bethel. At that point, church started at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Was it 9? Okay. But I had to leave at usually 7 with a van, go pick up 7, 8, 9 children. Steve did that too for many years, brought him out, picked my wife up, and then we went to church. And that's what we did, because they wanted to go to church. The children wanted, and youth wanted to go to church. And that's a lot of where started within Steve and Jason and a lot of other young people wanting to have a church within the people that they know, instead of, you know, going out somewhere where they don't know anybody. And that's where the journey started for us. And leading up into the maybe the 2 years before the church was started, we started meeting with Bethel Church, because they would have been in charge of the ministry at the time. Can we split off? Can we start church? Can we branch off? Can we be an extension? Can you bless us? What can we do? And during those meetings, lots and lots of meetings, Dylan's head's going up and down, lots and lots and lots of meetings, one request was made of me. I had my membership with Spring Garden. And they said, you know, we don't even really want to talk to you about starting a church, about blessing you, because you're not even a member of our church. So I worked through all that, lots of meetings through that, became a member. And that's honestly the reason that when they started meeting in November, that my wife and I didn't come in right away. We felt that we are supposed, I mean, we committed ourselves to Bethel. We were members, and we felt that we are supposed to work toward receiving a blessing from them, just to go where God wants us. Not blessing as far as a church, or just a blessing in life. Just God, go where God is calling you. We bless you to follow where God is calling you. And we fought for that for 7 months, I think. And countless some breakfast meetings, evening meetings, whatever. Trying to share our heart, trying to hear the leader's heart at Bethel. And probably one of the hardest times for my wife and I, because of just knowing where our hearts were, knowing where we wanted to be, and yet God did not release us. Until one, I think it was after Bible school that year, I didn't even have a plan. It was nothing that we were working toward. All of a sudden, God spoke, "You're released. I release you. You're released to go." I stood up in church that morning, and I cried, and I just bared my heart, and I shared exactly where we're at. I shared where God is telling me right now, and I said, "We bless you guys, but we're going to follow where God is asking us to go." And that's when we started coming in, and the rest is history. But that's still our heart. Over that time, our heart was a lot to work with families, youth and children, and families within Lancaster City, and that's still our heart. And like Jason, I'm going to echo with him, we're going to follow that calling that God's placed on us with everything that we have through whatever happens until he changes that calling. God bless you.
Amen. I agree with how Mike closed it, because I'm there as well. Just because you made one choice of obeying, and then you walked in that, doesn't say you're done, okay? And we can tend to think about that. We can tend to stay there, you know, if we know God is calling you to do something, or it can be something else, even in business or whatever, in your marriage or whatever, where you make a step, and they're like, okay, now I made a step, and now let's just camp out here for a while. I don't think that's living a life that God intended you to live, because I don't think we just come to a point where we plateau, and we can tend to plateau. Plateau can be a place where it's comfortable. We don't have to move much, but I think as long as we have life, as a church, as you as an individual, as you as a family unit, you as a husband or wife, wherever you're at, to keep growing, to keep pursuing God, and to keep walking, to keep moving. You can't steer a parked ship. If you're just parked there, you can't steer that thing. So, thank you, Jason, and Eduardo and Mike for sharing. And I'm just going to share a little bit of my perspective. And me and Steve's are a little bit more similar. I was hoping Steve could share his too, because it was amazing just how everything just came together in when we started a church. And so I'll just share just a little bit of my story, and I'm gonna back up a little bit to where I was 19, because the one thing that I want to talk about this morning, and we're gonna look at Abraham as well, is just the simple word of obedience. How much of a priority is obedience to you? Like, do you even think about, is obeying even important to you? Or is it just something, well, I'll obey if I feel like it, I'll obey if the circumstances are right, or you know, how quick are we to obey? In 1 Samuel 15:22, I'm kind of picking out a verse here, but this is when Samuel and Saul were back and forth there in chapter 15, when Saul was being disobedient, and Samuel comes to him and explains some stuff to him. But in 22, 1 Samuel 15:22, this is what Samuel says. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken that than the fat of the rams." And so Samuel said that back in 15, and he recognized that obeying is better than even sacrificing. And at that point, Saul was doing some sacrifices. They were supposed to totally eliminate the Amalekites. That's what this chapter is about. And he didn't do it completely. He only did partial. And even thinking about that, looking at obedience, are we okay with partial obedience? Like Saul did in this chapter when Samuel came to him and said, "Hey, you didn't do it how God told you 100%. You know, they did partial. But how good are we? Where do we prioritize our obedience? How obedient are we? And anyway, so for me, I'm going to go back when I was 19. And because the reason I'm starting back there, that goes back to 99. And I know that's 10 years before the church actually started. But just a little bit of my journey, my curve to where I got there. When I was 19, I wanted to go to VS somewhere. That's just what I wanted to do. And but I thought I wanted to go up north because I wanted snow. I wanted to go snowmobiling. I wanted cold weather. That's where Jess, what's wrong? I got a bad look from Jess over that one. but that's what I wanted when I was 19. And I got on the phone and I started calling up to Canada, and hey, you know, I couldn't get a hold of anyone. And finally I said, "Okay, God," I said, "I'll go wherever you want me to go." And I literally meant this. But I said, "You're going to have to call me. Someone's going to have to call me and tell me where to go, because I'm tired of, you know, trying to push my own way." 2 weeks later, I got a call from South Carolina, Jess, okay, and asking me to come down in Choice Books. And so I moved down to Hartwell, Georgia, is where I moved to. But so anyway, I went the opposite direction than what I thought I wanted to go. And but down there was where I met some one of my good friends. Down there was Michael Dowdrick, and at that point he was involved in a lot of Asia GTO trips. And you know, I never thought I would end up over there at all. This was just something, yeah, this is for Mike, but this is not for me, okay? And but through that all, God called me to go to Asia as well, which I never thought I'd be there, but I went there. So step number one was going to Georgia, and then I met Mike, and then through Mike, I ended up in Asia. And then in 2003, I was over there three different times. In 2003, specifically, I was flying home by myself. And I got delayed out of Bangkok, so I had to overnight in Taipei. And so I was there by myself. And I still very clearly remember my motel room, because I was coming back and I didn't know exactly what I'm going to do next. You know, single, 23, wasn't sure what was next. And not that I was really searching or really asking God, more than when I was in my motel room that night, I opened up my Bible, and very specifically through in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 said, "The vision is yet for an appointed time. Wait for it, it will speak." That's what it says. And that was like writing on the wall for me. It was so clear the Lord was speaking to me that verse, but I had no idea what it meant. Dale, the vision's for an appointed time. It's going to come. You have to wait for it. And so that's how I came home, having no clue what that was. And 6 years later, in 2009, actually yesterday was the 8th anniversary. That's why I said that. But November 11th in 2009, it was on a Wednesday morning, and I'm sitting there at home in when we lived at Shady Lane, just having my, my routine devotions. If you can say routine, I almost don't like that word, because devotions can tend to become a routine. I don't think it should, but so I was sitting there just before I went to work, and I was reading in Genesis 12, and I started weeping. Just weeping as I read this. Here's what it says. Wait a second. I'm sorry, Genesis 12. We're going to get Genesis 12 later. Genesis 22. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham. And Abraham said, Behold, here I am." This is God speaking. He said, "Take now thy son." Take now thy son. And that three-letter word never had as much impact in my life as it did at that moment. Now. And as I was reading that, I was just weeping, and I knew exactly what it meant. The Lord was saying, "Dale, you need to start a church, and you need to start it with those three letters, now." There was no question in my mind. And there was no question in my mind that what God had called me back in 2003, the vision's yet for a point in time, wait for it, behold, it's going to come. This is what it is. And that's what it was. And so I had that morning, and I went to work. 2 hours later, 8:15, Steve King calls me, says, "Dale, Jason says we need to start a church, and we need to do it now." This was the same day, 2 hours later. And so we had that, and then I shared with Steve what I just experienced that morning. And then that weekend, I wish Steve would be here to share his story as well. But Steve it happened when Jason talked about they went down to D.C. to watch Nick, to listen to Nick Wojcich. And I'm going to just tell Steve's story a little bit here. When they had the altar call down there, Steve knew he had to go forward. He wasn't sure why. But he did. He did it out of obedience. He went forward. And when he was in that time, was where the Lord very clearly, like Jason said, very clearly spoke to him as well that you need to start a church, and it's got to be now. Now, the amazing thing was, out of, I think the Bible has over 31,000 verses. I think I checked it one time, 31,900-something verses. God used the exact same verse for Steve as he did me. Exact same one. And so that was just a confirmation when we learned that of how God was working. And then Jason's involvement as well was just huge. And so for me, that weekend, that was on a Wednesday. That Sunday morning, I talked to my parents. I talked to my wife's parents. We were going to Mountain Springs at that time. I talked to the pastors there and told them what happened. I said, "This is what it is." And so we went to church that Sunday morning, me and my wife, and we explained what happened that week, and they had a time of blessing for us, and we left. We the following Sunday morning, we were in on 751 Lime Street, in a little about 10 by 12 living room is where we started. With I don't remember how many people were there the first morning. Probably 8, maybe 10. 10, okay. I don't remember all those numbers. But so that's where we started at 751 South Lime Street in a living room, 10 of us. My wife clearly remembers cooking the first fellowship meal because She was the only lady. There were no other ladies. She was the only one. But anyway, so that was the start of it. And then from there, we moved up to Galen's house, which was a little bigger. And I wish I would have all the dates there. I don't. When we moved. But Galen's house was a little bigger, but I do remember Galen's house as well being completely packed. Do you know the max? I was thinking we had 60 people in that living room one time. 60 or 65. Was it 60 or 65? Okay. Yeah. So that was an experience as well there in Galen's house some of the time. I remembered 60. You might be right. 60, 65. But there was a Sunday morning to where there was people just in there like you almost couldn't move. That's how full we were in the living room. But anyway, so God led us from one house to a bigger house. And then from there, the Lord opened up LCM, which we were renting their building for several years. So it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then from LCM, we went up to the Connection Center, which was huge. And probably a lot of you were involved in that time as well, and then from there, now we're here, and the Lord only knows how long we'll be here until we move somewhere else. But I just want to take this time too to bless you as a person in what you're bringing to the church. God called us to start a church. There's no question on should we exist. The question I asked myself is how should we exist? What does church look like? And I'm seeing, you know, over the 8 years, how God has brought all you incredible people in to help build the church. And so I want to bless each one of you on what you bring to church. The families, the marriages, just you coming, your support, and getting involved is such a huge blessing. So I just want to say thank you for what you bring, and just the calling that God has for you, I want to bless that. And I know one of my goals for church is, that we can create opportunities for you to use your gifts, to use your passions, to run with your passions, and that's some of my heart. That's where that's at. In Genesis chapter 12, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 12. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time looking at this, but a point that I want to get across here is, I want to ask you the question, you can answer yourself, is how important is obedience to you? How much do you prioritize it? And also the impact that obedience has on not only yourself, but also others. Obedience or disobedience impacts other people. And we're going to look at Abraham. And look at that a little bit. In Genesis chapter 12 is where God called Abraham to leave. And now Abraham, first we hear of Abraham is just a chapter before. Abraham grew up in Ur. And at that point, Ur was a very important city. Archaeologists actually say that it was a very flourishing civilization, the where Abraham grew up. They think Abraham was probably had really good schooling, just because of the where he grew up, and so Abraham grew up in Ur. We know that. We don't know much about what he did. Did he have a job? Did he have where he went to school? We don't know any of that. But we know he grew up in Ur, and then he moved to Haran. And eventually ended up in Canaan. But we do know that he was wealthy. Now, at this time, it doesn't say. We don't know if he's wealthy or not. I'm guessing he is. If you jump back a couple chapters, is where it says that Abraham was wealthy. He had lots of cattle. He had lots of gold, lots of silver. So I'm guessing he was probably pretty wealthy here, but the Bible doesn't say it for sure. So that's just where Abraham is right now. He's probably in a pretty good situation, I'm guessing. I don't know if he was a businessman, but living in Ur was probably a pretty good place to live from what I'm learning. And so it was probably pretty easy for him to be comfortable. How he got all his wealth, I don't know. Was it through business? Maybe not. But either way, living in this kind of, you know, era at that time in that place, I think was a pretty good place to live. And so we have him growing up there. But then in chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, the Lord comes to Abraham. And he says this. He says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from your kindred, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you." And so he comes here in verse 1, chapter 12, and he says this, "Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, and I'm going to show you where you're going to go." And so Abraham had a choice. At that point, it was Abram, but he had a choice. Does he leave his comfort zone? Does he leave his family? Does he leave his kindred? Does he leave his possible business? I'm just throwing that in there. I don't know. What's going to happen with all his stuff? I'm sure there's a lot of things running through his mind, but the thing is that God called him to go. So what does he do with it? And so maybe for you, maybe for me, you know, we're in our comfort zone. Maybe it's comfortable. We don't want to move. We don't want to do anything else. We're enjoying life right now. And God wants us to do something, but we decline just because we're just okay with where we're at. We don't want to do anything else. But here's what happened with Abraham. God does make a promise in chapter 2. He says, "I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing. I'm going to bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you." And check this out. "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And I looked at that a little bit. I'm like, wait a second. Is that really what it says? Because of Abraham's obedience, all the families of the earth are blessed. And I checked it out in a couple different translations, and they all say the same thing. Either all or everyone in the earth shall be blessed. And so I'm thinking about, okay, so I'm blessed because of Abraham's obedience, according to Scripture. And I believe that. Because God said, "Abraham, if you obey and you go, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your family. I'm going to bless the nations. And because of your obedience, all the families of the earth will be blessed." And I think we're part of that. And let me explain a little bit why I think so. Because through Abraham's family, you have, okay, God says, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your family. Your all the peoples of the earth." Through Abraham came the Israelites. Through Abraham's generations, most importantly, Jesus was born. And since Jesus was born, you and me can be saved. And so I'm looking at this, and we're seeing the important decision that Abraham had, and because he obeyed, his obedience is affecting me and you today because of the family tree and of Jesus being born. And through Jesus being born, obviously, me and you can experience salvation. We can experience a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. What would happen if Abraham wouldn't have been obedient? I don't know. Could have Jesus came another way through another line? Yeah, I absolutely think so, but he didn't. This is how it flowed. But what I want to get at, what I want us to learn, is the importance of obedience and how much it affects other people, our obedience. And here Abraham was obedient. So I am very grateful that Abraham was obedient. As much as he gave up here, I don't know what all he gave up when he left the country with his family, but Abraham left. And because of that, the Bible says everyone is blessed and we're a recipient of that. And I want to thank Abraham for his obedience because it's made a difference in my life. But how about for you as a father? How about for you as a husband or a mother and a wife? We have opportunities, or single, wherever you're at, we have opportunities to obey. We have opportunities to disobey. We have choices. And I think both, I'm not going to talk about someone being disobedient this morning. I'm just want to talk about, you know, Abraham being obedient and how much the impact he has of being obedient. And Okay, so we have that in Genesis 12. Abraham left, and God certainly blessed him. And so as we go back through the chapter, we have the story of Lot, and just some more on Abraham and some of his promises, and then Isaac being born to Abraham and Sarah, and then that takes us back to, so I'm going to jump all the way back to Genesis 22, because this is where, this is the verse that God used specifically for me and Steve. But so we're looking at Abraham already. One time God called him, and he was obedient. Now here's another time in Genesis 22, okay? So now God blessed him with Isaac, and he has his only boy. And God comes again the second time, at least the second time, okay? I don't think these were the only two tests in Abraham's life. These are what we read. I don't think they are. I mean, I think Abraham probably had lots of small tests in his life. We read about these two. But in order to pass a big test, a lot of times we have small tests as well. And I think that's how it is for me and you as well. You know, maybe we ask, okay, why doesn't God give me a big test? You know, I would love, you know, why doesn't God tell me to move to Africa? Boom, you know. It sounds like a really big, big one. Well, what are you doing with the small ones that God's asking you to do? Are you faithful in the little things? I think Abraham was. I think the little test that Abraham had, he passed. And therefore, God kept asking him for these bigger ones. So in Genesis 22, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God tempted Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham. Abraham said, Here I am. In verse 2, he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah," which Moriah was about 50 to 60 miles away from where they were at the time, "and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains, which I tell you." Now, are you kidding me? This is his only son that God gave to him. And God is asking him to do it right now. He says, "Abraham, take now your son, your only son, whom you love." God recognized that. "And take him 50 to 60 miles away to Moriah, and you offer him up as a sacrifice." So what did Abraham do? Abraham rose up early in the morning. And the end of verse 3, it says, "And he went unto the place which God told him." And I think that's very significant. Not only did he obey, not only was he prompt with his obedience, but he went exactly where God told him. God told him to go to Moriah. That's where he went. And so we have that, and you know the story. What happened, obviously, he didn't have to kill his son. God provided a lamb. And then look in verse 16, okay? And, you know, back in Genesis 12, we saw how Abraham obeyed, and then he was blessed. Here in chapter 22, Abraham obeyed again. If you read on down the chapter in verse 17, "That in blessing I will bless you, and in multiplying I will multiply your seeds as the stars in heaven and the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gates, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." That's what God says. "Because you obeyed, Abraham, I'm going to bless you again." And I think obedience brings a lot of blessing. It did in Abraham's life. I still think it does today. Now, one thing I want us to be careful with. It's important, though, that we look not at, okay, I want to be blessed, so I'm going to obey, so I receive the blessing. That's the wrong attitude. I don't think that's the attitude that Abraham had. I think Abraham was going to obey no matter what happens. And so I want us here just this morning to think about and to look at us as a church, you as an individual, as a family unit. How important is obedience to you? I believe God blesses obedience. We look at the story of Abraham. just the two times that we have here in him being faithful, in him having a clear calling, and he obeyed, and God gave a blessing. Now, were they easy? Were Abraham's two times easy? Was it easy for him to pack up his family, leave everything he had in Ur, and move out? Was that an easy thing to do? No. I'm sure it wasn't. In 22, would it be easy to take your only son and walk 3 days, 50 to 60 miles? It said they did it in 3 days. 50 to 60 miles, knowing that God's telling you to sacrifice your son? Would that be easy? No, it wouldn't be easy. God doesn't always ask us for easy things. I think there's times in life where we do, where he does. But I think there's also, like I talked about earlier, these small tests that God gives us. And maybe those are a lot easier. And, you know, you pass those. But let's be faithful in the little things. And I think then God brings us bigger things as we're faithful in the small things. One verse here yet, Luke 16:10 says this. This is a parable. Jesus is talking a parable where he's talking about the accountant. And in chapter 16, verse 10, he says this. He says, "He that is faithful in little is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much." And I think that principle applies to us as well today. As we're obedient in the little things, I think God will give us greater opportunities to be obedient in bigger things. And I really believe that in obedience, God provides blessing. But let's not obey for that blessing. There's times where we obey that difficulties come. There's no doubt in my mind. And I have been recently reading and studying into Job, and Lord willing, that's going to come out in a message sometime soon. But we look at the story of Job. Man, that's totally different. He was a righteous man. And yes, he got blessed in the end. We know the end story, but Job, during his life, he didn't know the end. And so it's not, life isn't always just easy, but God blesses obedience. I really believe he does. So that's what I want to leave you with this morning, is specifically the question, how much do you prioritize obedience? Is it important to you? I certainly think it was to Abraham. So, bless you with that. So, I'm going to turn the time. We'll do the offering. The offering today is for the missions fund. So, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll turn the time over to Dave. So, Father in heaven, thank you this morning, Father, that you're worthy to be trusted. And, Lord, we look at just this morning as well, and, Father, thinking of 8 years ago of when we started the church. And from by being obedient to your calling, Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity that we have here. And Father, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the way that you have just been there time and time and time again. I want to thank you for your direction. I want to thank you for your goodness. I want to thank you for your mercy in the times where we messed up and times where we either didn't obey or didn't follow what you were asking us to do. And so, Lord, I'm grateful for your mercy and for second chances as well. But so, Father, this morning, as we just reflect on church, I just want to thank you for each person that's here. Father, each person that's here is such a blessing, such a vital part of church. And, Lord, I believe and I know that each person here is someone that you have created, someone that you have gave gifts and talents to for the building of your kingdom. Is it here in Lancaster? Possibly. Is it somewhere else? Possibly. But I pray that wherever it is that would happen. And so we bless you. And Lord, I want to thank you for Abraham and thank you for Abraham's obedience. We look at his obedience and I think it's amazing at the decisions that he had and yet he was still obedient. And so Lord, teach us to be obedient as well. Bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, the offerings for the missions fund this morning. So, bless you as you give. So, Dave.
It's time for our prayer and sharing time. Mark had asked me to announce that it's worship night tonight at